All right, this morning we're going to turn to St. John 11:35. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. And a few weeks ago, God started speaking to me about this verse. And the title this morning is, Why Did Jesus Weep? And we have here in St. John chapter 11 the most detailed miracle in the New Testament, and yet we hear very little about it. I've never spoke about it, but God began to speak to my heart a few weeks ago about this. So let's read this passage. Read it with me. Jesus wept. Read it with me. Jesus wept. Hey, good typing. No spelling errors. Okay. Praise the Lord. This is a great chapter and an amazing story that I think sometimes is overlooked. But Jesus wept. And you know, first thing that you know weeping tells me is Jesus was a man of intense emotions. Jesus was a man, he was not weak. But yet he felt things so strongly. And I'm quite sensitive. I have a tendency to weep easily. But that's not a sign of weakness. Maybe it's a sign of meekness. But, you know, weeping is men can weep, women can weep, but it happens when we feel a strong emotion about something. And Jesus had many, many close friends. Sometimes we see him as someone just goes it through life, just reaching the lost, and we don't realize that Jesus had some really close friends. And three of them are actually talked about in this chapter. It's talked about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These three people, two females and a male, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were brothers and sisters. And Jesus often stopped at their home, and he became very close friends with his family. And Jesus was not in town, but he was in a place called Bethany. Now, back then, they didn't have cars, and they didn't have a good way to get around. So oftentimes, they walked, and it took them a long time to get from place to place. So from where Jesus had heard some news, he was about 2 days walking distance from where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were. Now, Lazarus is a word that we wouldn't name our child. I never had a boy, but I don't believe I'd name him Lazarus, you know. But back then, you know, there were some unusual names. But Jesus was in a town a little ways away, and a messenger came to him and said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, we've got a message for you. He's very, very ill. He's very sick, and we really believe that he's dying. Now, this man Lazarus was a close buddy of Christ. And it's, you know, and we need that in life. You know, Christ was the Son of God, and yet he needed to have close friends. But Lazarus was very, very sick. And he got this message, and Martha and Mary said, hey, our brother is so sick, he's dying. In Christ, we want you to come. Please come. And, you know, one of the reasons that they wanted him to be there is they knew if Christ was on the spot, if Christ was there, somehow everything was going to be all right. And, you know, we don't see Christ in person, but we believe in him, and we believe that he's a spirit, and he dwells with us. So, you know, we ought to know that when we have Christ, everything is going to be all right. I was at work this week, and I have to be really careful with my faith at work. There's a lot of rules and a lot of regulations regarding religious thoughts and religious things, and I have to be very, very careful. You can be called on the carpet really easily in a workplace oftentimes. But I had a man say to me, he says, I'm really beginning to question this thing. And it came out of the blue. I believe that if we live our life, we're a shining light. And I'm not allowed to say a lot of things at work, although it crosses my mind. I have to be very careful. But this man said to me, he says, you know, I'm really beginning to question this thing about Christ and the tomb and all this stuff because, he says, there's no evidence of Christ's body. No one has ever found it. Hello. No one ever will find it. That's why Jesus rose from the dead and he was taken up in heaven. You know, and this isn't in my notes, but you know, when Christ rose from the dead and he ascended into the heavens, there was a mass of 500 people. Now, 500 people is a lot of people, but back then, there wasn't 6 to 7 billion people on the earth. And back then, 500 people was a lot of people. And they saw this Christ arise. We never will see him bodily. We will see him someday. But on earth, he's not here. We're not going to see him. But Jesus was in a town not too far away. And this is very unusual because Jesus has a tendency, we believe that Christ will just come. When we say come, he's going to come. Jesus procrastinated 2 full days. He heard this news about Lazarus, his very close friend, and yet he knew. They said he's dying. He's basically dying. And Jesus was with some of his disciples and he procrastinated. He stayed right where he was for 2 entire days. And yet he was 2 days away. So after 2 days, he says to his disciples, he said, in the scriptures, he says, okay, it's time, let's go. Well, there was a couple of reasons Jesus procrastinated. One, that's very, very little thought about, I guess not too long before they had attempted to stone him. See, Jesus declared himself to be the Son of Man and the Son of God. So whenever when you say I'm the Son of God, it means you're a part of God. The people back in that day didn't believe him. They thought he was blasphemous. They thought he was an awful man that would say that I'm the Son of God. Well, in reality, he was the Son of God. But at that time, not too many believed that. So Jesus says to his disciples, let's go. So they're 2 days away. So they arrive at this place where he was a little skeptical going in because he'd almost been stoned there not too long before. But he went back anyway. And when he came into the town and came into this town where his friends were, he found everyone grieving, crying, and they were heartbroken because Lazarus was no longer sick, but he had died. And they were grieving. And they had already had his funeral. And Jesus was so close to his friends, so close to Lazarus, the scripture says Jesus wept. He was so close to his friend and he saw his friends crying. Even though he knew ahead, he knew he procrastinated because he said, this man has not died, but he's sleeping. And I want the glory of God to be shown forth. Jesus knew what he was going to do, and yet in his heart, he knew his friends were hurting, and he felt that so strongly and so emotionally that he wept. And Mary said to him, Jesus, if you had been here, if you had only been here, we knew things could have been different. You know, sometimes we don't understand why God holds back. Sometimes we don't understand why God procrastinates. And that's in our minds. That's in our earthly minds. We're thinking God's procrastinating. But Christ had a reason for holding back. He had a reason for waiting. He had a reason for procrastinating. But at that very moment, all these reasons, and even in Christ, he cried. His friend wasn't there. So, you know, Christ makes our future hopeful. Because even though he didn't feel like he was on the spot, he is there. And you know, a lot of times in life, how many times have we been somewhere and felt like God isn't really listening? There was one man in the Bible, he said, I prayed and it felt like the ceilings were brass. It felt like my prayers weren't going anywhere. Sometimes it seems like that, but we have to believe. And I thank the Lord for Mary and Martha, even though it seemed like they didn't understand that Christ had a really good reason for waiting and procrastinating and holding back for a couple days. And it took him 4 days to get there. They had already had the funeral. He was already in the tomb. See, back then, they did things differently. They'd find a little cave and put a person in it. They'd wrap them in clothes. Simple, very simple. They didn't embalm them. They simply wrapped them, buried them. And at this particular one, they put a stone in. I was in Israel in 1975, and they took us to the place that they felt that Lazarus was. And it was down in a place, and it was like in this tomb, and they would actually put a stone up there. So, you know, it was over. It was end of life. And I was also where Christ was. And that was easy to find because there's a hill. They call it the place of the skull, Golgotha. And you can actually get back, and it looks like this mountain has a sculpture, almost kind of like a skull. It was very, very interesting. 20 years old, and that trip just changed and helped me in my Christian walk. It changed my life. It was amazing. Someday, I should just speak a whole message about it, because I took a 10-day Holy Land trip there, and when I was young and single, my pockets did jingle. Now, when I got sidetracked here, Dennis, I got to get back on track. But it was a great trip, the Holy Land tour. All right, so Jesus said to his folks and said to the people around, he said, I want you to know something. I am the resurrection and the life. And they said, we know, Lord. We know that someday Lazarus is going to rise again because we believe you. He had a few followers even in that day. He said, we know you. We know we believe you. And he said, but I am the resurrection and the life. But Jesus said, I want to prove to you. I want to show you. I want my divinity. I want to show you that I'm divine. So he said to his friends, he says, where did you lay him? And he said, no, we don't want to go up there, Jesus. He has been there for 4 days. And by now, it smells. It'd be awful. It's over. It's absolutely over. And Christ said, take me to where he is. You know, those are in authority. You know, it's really interesting. Those that are in authority, it's amazing. Those that are in authority, no matter where you are, whether it's the workplace or the church place or, you know, even a household, I mean, those are in authority. Christ just has a principle. He wants a leader, and Christ was their leader, and he said, take me. So they took him. They took him. And he said, roll the stone away. Boy, does that sound like a story that's similar? It's true. It happened. So he said, roll the stone away, and I want to show you the glory of God. I want to show you this. And you know, it amazes me that Christ always has a reason for doing things the way he does. I don't always understand it. And I'm human, and I have a three-letter word that often comes into my mind the same as you. Why? Why, Jesus? Why did you tarry? Why couldn't have you been here? He's your friend. You could have prayed over him. Jesus, you prayed over a man one time, and you picked up some mud off. Aha. Uh-huh. I just found a new reason why we need a pulpit. I just tripped over this leg. Uh-huh. I just wanted the board members to know that. Jesus, I know. I just know. I know that if you'd have only been here, something better could have happened. Because I know that there was one time you picked up some mud and you put it in a man's eyes. And you said, go wash in the river. And he went and washed and he saw. I just know he could have prayed. I just know you could have prayed over your friend and it had been all right. But you weren't here. And you know, his heart broke. His heart broke. And you know, there was another man in the Bible. His name was Job. This Job, he had such close friends. And you know, we need to cultivate friends. Because friends are there when you need them. And friends are there to comfort you. Friends are there. And Job, he got such, and that's a whole nother message. But just briefly, he was in such a place that he just sat down. The scripture says he just sat down in sackcloth and ashes. And he just had to mourn, and he just couldn't speak. And he had friends come. They took a week off of work. They took 7 days, and they came. And they got there, and they just sat with him. And the scripture said they said nothing. How good it was that Jesus had them, and they had Jesus. Job had such close friends that even when he got in a hard place, they just came and they just sat with him. They just sat with him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that someone just could just sit with you? I don't really know what to say. I can't really help you. But I want you to know I'm here. I want you to know that I'm right here. Wow, we need to cultivate friends. God cares when you suffer. He cares about you. He cares about your feelings. The scripture says Jesus is touched. There was a prophecy in Isaiah that actually said when this Messiah comes, he's going to be so moved, he's going to be so emotional, that he's going to be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He's going to be touched when you hurt. He's going to be touched when you're sick. He's going to be touched when you grieve. He's going to be so touched that I don't believe that Lazarus is the only one that Christ ever wept over. He weeps over you. He cares about you. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He cares for you in everything you do. I lost my little furry four-legged friend not too long ago. And you know, even though I grieve and hurt over that, Christ cares. He cares. I just honestly believe that he cares everything about us. And that's why a lot of times when we think that he's not there, we have to realize he is there. Christ knew for 4 days exactly what was happening. But when he got there, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And so now, getting back, remember I said, he said, move that stone out of the way. And Jesus spoke with authority. And this is pretty amazing. Now, I haven't heard much about this. I've never preached this before, but Jesus spoke, and the scripture says he spoke with a loud voice. Now, he spoke with a loud voice and he says, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke with authority. He spoke it with spirit. Now, this man was not alive. So what was he speaking to? He wasn't speaking to a corpse. He was speaking life. He was speaking spirit. He was speaking his soul back into that body. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Christ didn't have to say in Jesus' name, but we would say in Jesus' name. And if we believe it in faith, we can accomplish great things. We can accomplish great things. And the scripture says Lazarus stood up. His spirit entered back into him. His body stood up, and he was actually so wound he could hardly walk. Yeah, it was like a mummy. He could hardly walk. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. One of the greatest miracles in the New Testament we rarely hear about is 50 verses long, 50 verses in this story, and we don't ever really know why did he weep. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with such emotion. And he felt for his friends, and he felt for his friend, for his friends and his friend Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Praise God. Oh my goodness. He's so compassionate. He's so moving. And he has not changed. This is why Jesus, the scripture says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He said, I go away and I do not leave you comfortless, but I will give you the Holy Spirit, and it shall dwell in you and shall be in you, and you shall know the truth, and it shall be set you free, and you can walk in life. You can walk in liberty. You can walk in the compassion of Christ, and you can walk knowing that he cares about you. He weeps over you. He feels for you. He's touched with what you go through. He's touched. There are some that believe that you know you shouldn't even get ill. You shouldn't even go through trials. Trials, you know, I have found in real life, life sometimes is like this. It's just like a roller coaster, and I don't like roller coasters. I've been on them like 2 or 3 times in my life. The last time I was on one, my daughter talked me into going with her, and it was one of these roller coasters where you sit in the seat and your feet dangle. Oh, trust me. I not only didn't like roller coasters, that was the worst ride of my life. I'm sitting there in a seat, nothing beneath me. and my feet are and legs are tangling, and I'm going, I'll tell you, sometimes that's the way life feels like. You know, you feel like you're just hanging out there. You're dangling. But yet God sees you, and he cares about you, and he cares about your feelings. He cares about you, and he weeps over you. This man was returned to life. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And the scripture says they went over and they unbound him. And he said, I want you to know, this is what I've been talking about. I am the resurrection and life, and I also will die. And in 3 days I will be risen from the dead. And you know, this is the that's one of the things that separates our Christian view from Jehovah's Witness, from some other religions in the world. They don't believe in the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians, it says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, your belief in your salvation is null and void. It's non-existent, because we believe that Christ wasn't just a martyr. See, think about it. A lot of people have died in this world for Christ, but they're martyrs. Jesus was not the only one that ever, you know, resurrected himself, because he had the power to do this. But I just want you to know this morning that your future is hopeful. Our future is hopeful. We are hopeful when we lay ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, no matter whether you feel like you're answering my prayer today or you're not, whether you feel like you're answering my prayer tomorrow, I'm just going to trust you. And you know, that's what it comes down to. It's a trust issue. It's a belief issue. And that's why we call ourselves believers, because we believe that in the scriptures, even though sometimes when we don't see it, we believe it. So I just want you to know this morning that Christ cares no matter what you go through, no matter what he cares over you. He weeps over you, and he feels very strongly over you because he loves you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your loving grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you care so much for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that we're just not left go, that sometimes you seem like you hold back, and it seems like you procrastinate. Sometimes like it seems like you don't answer our prayer, or we just don't understand. Lord, because we're humans, we just don't get it. We don't see ahead. I sometimes say, I don't have a crystal ball, but yet, Christ, you know the future. You know our lives from beginning to end. And if we put our lives in you, we thank you, Lord, that we're going to be strong. We're going to be strong knowing that you're going to be omnipresent. You're going to be present in on the scene. And even when it seems like we've forsaken, you said, lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the age, until to the end of the world. I thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. And I pray, God, that you'll just give us that faith and that confidence and that trust that you care so much, that you'll weep over us and you'll show us that you are very compassionate and very loving. And as we honor you and praise you, we just thank you, Lord, that we can commit ourselves to something higher than ourselves. And even in this church, God, thank you that we're in a body of Christ, and we're in a body of believers, and we're in a body of friends. Help us to cultivate that so we can lean on each other and we can be strong for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stand for a moment. Let's just all stand for a moment. And if you would, just keep your eyes closed and let's just let this message of Jesus wept just encompass us, and think about what God has spoken to us about this morning. Oh my. He will come. He is there. Praise God. Praise God. He is there. The shortest verse in the Bible, and yet so very, very powerful. Praise the Lord. Thank you for each one of you that came this morning. I appreciated being able to bring the word to you, and I hope you've appreciated hearing it. God bless each and every one of you. The elders will be up around. I appreciate everyone for coming out this morning, and I hope you have a wonderful week. God bless you as you go.